time now for Connecting the Diocese. Connecting the Diocese is a production of the Diocese of La Crosse.
And thank you for tuning in Connecting the Diocese. My name is Jack Socio, your weekly host on this radio show from the Diocese of La Crosse, Wisconsin. Also available online at diolc.org/connecting, where you can download a copy of the show. And it also is streaming in all of the usual places that have podcasts. This is certainly one changeable March season as far as weather is concerned and all of the things in nature are concerned. Just last week, I was talking to the bishop and I mentioned that, I saw two robins out in my yard this morning. Well, I'm just going to play something for you. This is from a day or two ago before the latest snow squall hit. My wife comes in and says, you really should go outside for a second and listen to something. So naturally, when she says that, I grab my little recorder because I'm a radio guy. And, well, this is what happened. It starts with me opening the front door to the house. We have a small, undeveloped portion of our property, and it is surrounded by cultivated cornfields and soybean fields. So it's like a little island of trees, and consequently, when the birds are migrating, they stop here. As you can hear, I don't know what kind of birds they are. They were black. We have a poster in our kitchen that says, how to identify a bird, and it's got about, a dozen or so pictures of birds on it, and under each one it says, bird. 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 In getting ready to record my guest, Roberto Partaru, I was playing a little piece of this recording over the microphone so he could hear it. And he was kind of like, oh my gosh, what is that? We have house cats. They do not go outside. And one of them has been literally raised in the house her entire life, but she keeps trying to run out the door to see what's going on. So I just picked her up and took her outside. And she's like, her eyes get wide, because all these birds and all this noise these birds are making. And she was kind of freaked out. It was kind of like, I don't understand this, and I think I like living inside. It was kind of cool, like if you made a sudden loud noise, kind of like loudly clapping your hands, all of a sudden all these hundreds of birds just like stop, just silence, like, what was that? And then after they realize there's no problem, they start up again. They have moved on to their next step of their journey. I have no idea where they're going to end up, but one thing I could be thankful for is I think we have a lot lesser bugs floating around our property than we had a few days ago. I did catch one interesting story this week that is not time sensitive, unlike so much other information coming out of Ukraine. How many of you have ever won a medal? Probably not many of us. I mean, maybe some people got them in high school or sports from college or something like that. A lot of us guys who were in the military got a couple of medals that were kind of given to everybody, not for any specific heroism or anything like that, but just for having served. They give you a little medal. In the world of medals, the big time ones are like, well, along with the Congressional Medal of Honor, of course, the thing's a Bronze Star. But in the non-military world, the Olympic medals, gold medals, silver medals, bronze medals, those are pretty big deals. And also, in the world of writing and also in research, getting a Nobel Prize medal for something you've done is a big deal. Well, a Russian writer got a Nobel Prize. He worked with another writer on a story about poverty in the Philippines some years ago. But he won a Nobel Prize, and he got a Nobel Prize medal. Most of us would cherish our medals. We would hang them up. We would do something with them, put them in a display case, whatever the case may be. This Russian writer decided that he would auction off his medal, his Nobel Prize medal, and the proceeds would go to help the children in Ukraine. There's not a lot of news of opposition coming out of Russia because of all of the censorship that is going on. But again, this is a story that was worth telling. Yeah, that was a prized possession that meant a lot to him. But you know something? The lives of those Ukrainian children meant even more. Good job. Good job. Speaking of good jobs, coming up in just a short time, we're going to be talking with Roberto Partiru about a lot of things going on at Catholic Charities that you may want to know about and all the good work that they do. So stick around right here on Connecting the Diocese. Before we get going with the rest of the show, I want to spend just a couple of minutes to tell you that we're pretty excited about the new technology that we are using that lets us have a higher quality show when it comes to having guests on the air. You may have noticed the past several weeks that it sounds pretty much like the guest is in the studio with me, which is the way we'd like it to be. But because of COVID-19 and people being far away, they can't always drive to the studio in La Crosse. And so we do something new using two people talking to each other, a little bit like Zoom, except with much higher quality recording going on, courtesy of a service that we now use. The good news is that this doesn't cost a bunch of money. You know, if it was thousands of dollars a month to do this, we wouldn't be doing it. But frankly, the cost of doing it is about the cost of maybe two pizzas a month to do this, to upgrade our quality. And I'm looking forward to reaching out to other parishes further into the diocese without having to use the telephone so we have a more enjoyable listening experience. This show has been going on now for 10 years, and I must tell you, with the exception of me buying a few personal things to use, like my own recorders, I'm a bit like a plumber who likes to work with his own tools. The Diocese of La Crosse hasn't sunk any money into equipment for this show. I'm using the same microphones that I used 10 years ago in the studio, the same microphone stands, the same headphones, all these things that we already had. And frankly, when we go back to the studio, it's going to stay pretty much the same way. If any of you are podcasting and want to know what we use, just drop me a note at connecting@diolc.org, and I'll tell you. So we're watching your money, and I mention that because the time comes when the bishop's annual appeal is on, or there's a request for some money to help out with this show, or just a general diocesan work. And I want you to understand that we are not blowing all kinds of money on fancy equipment to bring you this show. We keep it simple, and we hope that you enjoy it. So, with that in mind, let's go back and see how the new technology works as we do this special interview with Roberto Partiru. Well, as promised, Roberto Partiru, the director of Catholic Charities and also very, very tapped into the whole national scene with Catholic Charities, is joining us for his periodic reports. Roberto, welcome back.
Thank you. A pleasure being here with you.
We have you on more often, well, not more often than the bishop, but we have you on quite a bit. Every couple of months, we try to get you in because the Catholic Charities, the work of the one in the diocese and all the other ones in the country, are seasonal. They keep changing every time the season changes, circumstances change, things happen nationally or internationally. It's a constant moving target for you, isn't it?
It is. I mean, Catholic Charities works on all fronts. We work in adoption, we work in rent release, and we work with the homeless. I mean, the kind of work that Catholic Charities does, we are the charitable arm of the church. So we work in every area that they need us, that people need us. So we're very active.
Yes, it is. And that's why it's so much, I won't say so much fun to talk to you. That's a nice word too, though. I like that. It's rewarding to talk to you because you hear about all the good things that are going on. Until recently, Catholic Charities was assisting the Afghan refugees at Fort McCoy. Now they have been dispersed throughout the country. Are there any going to be staying in our La Crosse area?
Not in La Crosse, but we have in our diocese, we have in Stevens Point and we have in Wausau. We have close to 100 families that we're assisting, and we're also working with the Catholic Charities in Green Bay because they have about 120 families that are going to be moving and have already moved into the area. So we're supporting the Afghan refugees that are staying in our diocese and in Wisconsin.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Sometimes they try to locate the Afghan refugees into communities where there are already Afghans for obvious reasons. You know, you want to have some of your own people, your own culture, your own food, because this is a very unfamiliar place if you are not from around here. So that's really good. That's excellent that that's going on. I know that because of the housing crisis in many, many communities, that some people are still being housed in apartments until they can find homes, but things are tough.
That's very tough. I mean, one of the main difficulties that we're having with the Afghan refugees is finding them housing. In the Wausau area, there's a shortage, similarly in La Crosse, even though they're not here. But in Wausau, we have a shortage of affordable housing. In Green Bay, it's the same issue. So the main difficulty is being able to find housing for them.
Yeah, yeah. And this affordable housing situation, which is everywhere, also impacts efforts dealing with the homeless population, the unsheltered, which we'll get to in a little bit. But first, for the past several weeks, for those listening in the Diocese of La Crosse, I have been running some what I would call public service announcements, basically saying April 15th is coming. And we're not talking about taxes. We're talking about something that can affect a whole bunch of people, many of whom never thought they would be in a situation. It is the power cutoffs. Can you explain what that is?
Well, it's basically, there is some period where in the wintertime, utilities cannot cut off the electricity and gas or all their services to the people that haven't been able to pay their bills or they're late in their bills because of wintertime. They're restricted. But coming April 15th, they can. So the individuals cannot pay the utilities. They will get their utilities cut off. So they will find themselves without electricity, without gas, and without heating. So we're helping those individuals. We're helping those families to negotiate and create a payment plan with the utilities, and we are asking the community to help us have some funds so that we can help the families in the community to pay their bills.
Yeah, not the homeless, the heatless would
the
be.
The heatless,
yeah.
Correct.
And seriously, it can happen to anybody, especially with this pandemic going on. For one thing, this is the first time in a year or so where this thing ends on April 15th. They kept extending it last year, and so there was more time to kind of get your payments figured out. But it could happen to anybody. I was just kind of thinking about this. This past few days, we suddenly discovered, and this is me not going into the basement and checking. My wife said, "Hey, it's getting kind of cold in here."
Yeah.
And we have oil heat because we're in a rural area. We have oil heat. And I went down and our big oil tank was empty. The little float thing was down at the bottom. And so I called up the oil company and they said they'd be out the next day. Turned out they came out later in the afternoon because they're a wonderful company in a local small town. But we anticipated they would come out probably not for 24 hours. And so we began getting out these few little electric heaters we had because it was starting to cool down. And this got me thinking about it. I said, if you have your power cut off, even if you got oil in your tank, nothing's going to happen.
Yeah, but also, I mean, look at the prices of utilities. I mean, with increasing oil prices, the increasing gas prices, the bills are up. In my case, in my house, my bill is up over 40%.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So
we just got 150 gallons, which is the minimum to carry us through spring, which is probably more than we need, but that's the minimum. And it was a lot more than it was last year. And again, things happen. We're not in any trouble, so I'm not worried about it. But this came suddenly without us expecting it. And then at the end of this month, I have to pay house insurance, plus all the other bills. Our electric bill has gone up for the same reason, because we've had other power that we were using. It can just grab you when you don't know it. This is not something that only happens to people who are somehow negligent or just they're blowing their money on other stuff. This is not that case at all. And Catholic Charities is not judgmental. And do not feel ashamed if suddenly you are caught in a bind. We've got a lot of rough stuff going on right now, and not everybody, you know, what's the old joke about the income and the outgo? They don't always match.
And you never know when you're going to find yourself in a situation. I mean, I will not name any person, an individual person here, but we have a case right now of a lady that it's been fine for all her year, but her husband passed away recently, so she cannot pay the bills. I mean, she's finding herself in a situation that by no fault of her own, she's retired, and so she's having to move to a new place and having to pay the utility bills. I mean, everything came at once. Happened to her once, so it can happen to anybody. And she lived very well for all her life. So when you're getting older, things happen, and it's just a real sad situation. We're trying to help her. So,
sure.
You know, and there are many cases like that, many.
With the income and the outgo not matching up. One thing we've been mentioning to people is that I don't care whether it's power, credit cards, mortgage, whatever it happens to be, the worst thing you can do is stop talking to the people that you have to be paying, because they get scared. They get worried.
The best way to do it is to approach us and talk to us so that we can negotiate with the utilities. We can negotiate with your landlord. We can talk and create a plan and work with the individual, work with the family to create a plan to find a solution to the problem so that we can have a way out. by if you stop talking, if you do not face the situation, then you make it worse, because then they think that you don't care, and then you find yourself in deep waters.
Right, especially if you are turned over to a collection agency, there's no turning back. They don't go back to the power company and say, hey, these people made a mistake. Once it's turned over, their job is to collect money. And
correct.
They are not necessarily, they've got a lot of rules and regulations about how they do it, but nonetheless, they are very unrelenting in their desire to get the money from you. Question, this is a program in the Diocese of La Crosse. We do have listeners outside of our diocese. Are there similar help or similar programs in other Catholic charities? Is there some standardized thing, or should you be checking with each individual one?
Each individual one has a different program. Some Catholic charities I know nationwide, they do this. I mean, they have what we call the St. Lawrence program, which is helps individuals financially, and we try to educate individuals with their finances. But not every Catholic charity does that. So this is our program is very unique here in Wisconsin, but I understand that Madison and Milwaukee has something similar as well. But
okay. Now, the St. Lawrence program, this is something interesting that if you have a person who is not in a crisis situation, but say they're living paycheck to paycheck, and they get nervous about this. Can they come to you just for counseling to kind of get a better handle on how to handle their finances?
Absolutely. I mean, we receive over 3,000 calls every year asking to meet with us, and we meet with about 1,500 individuals each year. And most of those meetings are just to look at their finances and try to help them understand their finances and managing their finances. So our program is more towards working on an individual basis and teaching people how to look at finances.
How do you do that? Do you have individual counseling or classes, or what is that?
We have individual counseling, and all our personnel, our staff are accredited. So they can look at finances and teach individuals about managing their own budget.
Yeah, and there's no shame in this. I mean, in fact, the people who are coming in requesting some help to kind of straighten out their idea of how to handle money, and there's a whole bunch of people who are not good at that. You know, I myself included in the past. I always say this semi-proudly and semi-ashamedly. I have not used an ATM machine since 1984 because I never kept track of it. You know, I mean, it was kind of like, oh, I'll just go to the ATM. You know, I mean, it's not as bad as the person who says, well, I must have money in my checking account because I've got blank checks here. But it was close to it. You know, well, yeah, the ATM machine, I'll get some money. And I just, because I'm not a detailed person when it comes to money matters as much as I should be, I'm better than I used to be by a long shot. But back then I wasn't. I just don't use one. I mean, I just say, no, Jack, you're not going to, no, I'm sorry.
Well, you're not the only one. I'm much better looking at the finances of Catholic charities than looking at my own finances. So I get into deep waters once in a while, and my wife has to look at me and say, Roberto, what are you doing?
It's really easy. With this pandemic that has been going on and may be resurging and continuing, we have to wait and see. There's people who have lost work hours, there's people who have lost jobs, there's people who have, you know, if you were a wait person in a restaurant, oh man, you got slaughtered. I mean, you know, because the restaurants were not open, people were not coming in. It was just, that's just one job. But there's plenty of other jobs that were not giving you the hours that you used to have. And so it's all over the place. And again, you're not alone. There's no embarrassment. No one's going to look at you and go, well, gee whiz. They might look at me and say, Jack, you couldn't use an ATM machine? Come on. But that's okay. I admitted that. I'm not good at that. But they're not going to look at you and go, well, gee whiz, gang, what are you doing? They're going to look at you and they're going to say, let's figure this out. You got this much money. Let's kind of divide this up and to see if we can space it out. Basic financial stuff that they never taught me in high school, those things. You know, I learned how to balance a checkbook. They taught us that in a math class. That's about it. There was no planning for expenses when you got out in the real world.
That's correct. And it is important to face it and actually to learn. There's, like you said, there's no sin in in not knowing what you don't know. So if we can all learn it, it's a healthy move to learn how to do finances. Mm-hmm.
So now if a person is listening to this right now, and either they or they know somebody who looks like on April 15th, the hammer is going to be laid down on them, what is the first thing they should be doing right now?
They should be calling Catholic Charities, and we have a number. Our main line number is 608-782-0710. 608-782-0710, and ask to speak with somebody in the St. Lawrence apartment. They will meet with you, and they will answer your call and answer all your questions and hopefully help you.
Mm-hmm. Now, roughly, how long does the process take? It depends on how much difficulty the person has got to deal with, I'm sure.
But correct.
This is not something that can be done in 2 hours. It's going to take a little bit longer than that.
It takes a little longer because they need to meet, and they will be asked to show some documents in terms of income and have a conversation and to really understand what the problem is. Mm-hmm. So depending on the information that the person has, I mean the documentation that each individual has, and what the problem is, our staff will take the time to fully understand the situation of the client, and then come up together with a solution. It doesn't happen in an hour. It happens in a couple of days.
And you also mentioned the initial phone call, initial contact. That's really important because they're going to ask you to bring in, you know, stuff showing how much your rent is, how much your phone's bills are, how much your electric is, you know,
correct. All the,
and if you don't have that, if you go, gee, I left it at home or I didn't know I had to bring it in, they don't have any basis to work with.
Correct.
A check stub, payment things. So they need to look at the income, and they need to look at the outgo. And that normally has to be something printed they could just look at. This way they have accurate information, and there won't be the situation where, oh yeah, I forgot I had a car payment.
Right.
It's all there in front of you. So if you know someone who's doing this, and again, people like me, I'm not real great with paperwork either. I'm thank goodness I've got a wife who is. But they may need some time to gather up samples of their bills that they've got stuck in a drawer someplace or whatever the case may be. So if you're talking to someone who says, I don't know what I'm going to do, you can tell them, A, get hold of Catholic Charities. B, right now, start gathering up all your paperwork.
Correct.
Yeah. And also a very important thing, we mentioned this, although it would seem obvious to a lot of our people who know how the Catholic Church works, you don't have to be Catholic to use these services.
Correct. I mean, we serve everybody. We are Catholics, and we do this because we are Catholics. We serve everybody, absolutely everybody. We don't make any judgments, and we serve everyone in the community.
Yeah. So that's don't be afraid of that part of it. Don't be afraid of that whatsoever. There used to be all kinds of commercial entities who would try to get you to use their services, either by giving you payday loans or short-term loans, or we can help you deal with the IRS, and it ends up costing you more money. Catholic Charities, are there any fees involved when they talk to you about these things?
No, it's all free.
See, there you go. The people who are listening to this for the first time are going to sit there going, they're doing this for free. Yeah.
We're doing this for free. And we provide, just to give you an idea, last year we provided close to $300,000 in assistance to people in the community, to people living in the diocese, in direct financial aid. We don't make any money on this. We don't charge any money. We are using the resources and the gifts and donations that we receive from various sources, from our donors. We provide those resources to the community.
There may be some kind of priming the pump, as it were, money-wise, to get things going with these companies, but Catholic Charities is not going to be able to pay your entire bill for you. But getting a plan going is really essential.
But that's the beauty of it, because we work with other agencies and with other government resources. So we don't provide all of the funding, but we will connect you with other government agencies or other nonprofit and other people that can help you. So we work together.
Yeah, and this is information that if you tried doing it on your own, you would be in a labyrinth of bureaucracies that
right.
You guys have already navigated. You also, though, will accept donations from nice people who would like to say, you know, I got neighbors who are having some trouble, so let me give you some money so that when they come, you know, whoever that neighbor is, known or unknown, they can be helped a little bit. How do you donate the money to Catholic Charities?
You can go into our webpage and just click on donations. I mean, our webpage is www.ccclse.org, ccclse.org.
And I've memorized that one after all these years, Roberto. It's amazing. I can hardly remember my own website, but it's CC as in Catholic Charities, LSE, which is lacrosse, and .org, O-R-G, because you are a nonprofit, ccclse.org. And you can actually donate online, as well as getting a lot of other information about what is going on there. We do this every year. I mean, I'm sure some people who have been listening for 10 years have heard this 10 times, but there's always new people. There are always people who suddenly find themselves in a bad situation. And it's a little bit like they talk about how, you know, you got some guy who's got a car repair shop, who has a billboard or who runs radio ads. and people say, well, why do you keep running the radio ads all the time when, you know, you never can tell when someone needs to have their car fixed? And he goes, well, that's the idea, is that when someone suddenly discovers they need to have their car fixed, they'll remember me. And that's how advertising works. We keep repeating this and also do some public service announcements
right.
for the same reason that maybe this will be stuck in the back of your head. Maybe you have no need for this. You're sitting back going, boy, thank God I don't have to deal with this. I'm so lucky. But maybe you know somebody who does. Or
yeah.
Maybe in a month from now, something happens that you didn't expect. And you're going to say, oh, that's right. I remember hearing about Catholic Charities. This is why we're doing it. We're doing this to show that there's help and goodness and kind people, and no one is disposable, as our bishop says frequently. No one is overlooked. You all are our children of God. We all care about you, regardless of whether you have a system of beliefs that's the same or different or none whatsoever. It doesn't matter. This is one of the great positive things about talking about these things on this show, that there's good stuff going on in the midst of all the craziness going on in the world right now. There's a lot of good stuff going on. You must, there's days, I'm sure, when you go home and you're dog tired, but you're, you know, working with this and seeing the people, the volunteers and the staff that are doing all these things, it must make you feel good. How are you doing on volunteers these days, by the way?
We're doing well, thank God. I mean, because of the pandemic, it just kind of over. We let's not chant victory yet, but it's passing, and our volunteers are coming back, and we had a lot of volunteers. I mean, we work with over 80 volunteers a day at Fort McCoy, and from number of dioceses and a number of areas, but also back in here in La Crosse and in Wausau and in Eau Claire. We have volunteers coming back to help us. It is incredible, the generosity of our volunteers and the generosity of people in our diocese. I mean, I'm shocked. With all the stuff that is going on around the world, with all the suffering and the craziness of wars, and people remain good. I mean, we are so lucky and so blessed to be in a place where people are generous, people are caring, and all we have to do is just look outside. I mean, look at today, for example. It's just a beautiful day. It's sunny, it's warm. We can count our blessings and look at what God has given us and all the beauties around that surrounds us. We are very lucky.
Yeah, there we are. There has been a lot of talk in some online newspapers, versions of papers, about the pandemic of negativity, where people are just so negative about things. And you know, we don't ask you to just falsely be cheerful. That's a different story. But there is good going on all around us. And as I've said often, one of the joys of doing this show every week is I get to highlight some of it and I get to witness some of it. So you don't just look at the paper and say, oh my gosh, all this terrible stuff is happening. There's good stuff going on as well. And there are people trying to alleviate the bad stuff that is going on. And we have to keep that in mind.
Yeah, we have to remember that the Catholic Church teaches us that hope is the virtue that responds to the aspiration to happiness which God has placed in the heart of every person. It keeps us from discouragement. It sustains the person during the hard times. It opens our hearts in expectation of the good. So hope can preserve us from selfishness and leads us to happiness that flows from charity. So hope is that one virtue that we have that we can look into and live and experience.
You cannot cave into despair.
Correct.
I mean, there were people in concentration camps during World War II who were in the worst possible situations, and they did not give up. They did not just fall into complete despair. I was reading about, this is off the topic, but I'm just going to mention this quickly. We all have heard of Salton appliances. You know, they make egg cookers, they make, you name it, Instant Pot type things and all kinds of, big company. The gentleman who started Salton was in the concentration camps in Europe during World War II. And when he came to America, when he was liberated, he only had one thing in his pocket that he'd saved. His father had a huge stamp collection, which of course was confiscated by the Nazis. And he saved one valuable stamp, which he had kept with him in the camps. And he got to the States, and he sold that stamp to get a little money so that he could sell little pots and pans on the boardwalk near New York, you know. And from that, he grew this multi-million-dollar company.
Amazing.
I sit there, and I have Salton appliances, and I sit there, and I go, you talk about not caving into despair. It's just amazing. Just amazing that the people would have this strength to do all this. And there are people right now walking around our streets. Some of them are unsheltered. Some of them are homeless. Who, given a chance, will blossom. We have a little bit warmer weather coming, although we had some pretty darn cold weather a few weeks ago. What happens as we transition into spring? What happens with the warming centers and the hospitality centers and things like that?
I mean, our warming centers remains open until April 30th. So we will be through April, our warming centers will be open. Coming May 1st, we're closed. And that's a conversation that we're having with the city of La Crosse. In Eau Claire, we remain open year-round. In Wausau, we also close at the end of April. But we're considering not this year, but for the following years to remain open year-round. But we're in conversations right now with the city and with all our other partners. How are we going to help the homeless and try to shelter as many people as possible into permanent housing? It's a real difficulty because of what we spoke about previously. There's a tremendous shortage in affordable housing, and even though we have some funds to place people into permanent housing, we just cannot find a house.
Right.
But also the difficulty is some people are not ready to be housed. So how do we help them to remain under a roof? So we're looking and discussing some alternatives.
I don't know how you measure the number of people who were served this winter, whether it's the number of nights in beds or the number of individuals. I'm assuming that the numbers were steady and probably were creeping up.
We had high numbers. I mean, the number of homeless individuals increased. We serve this past year over 300 a year and across 350 different individuals. I mean, and we serve about between 30 and 40 people a night at our warming centers. Salvation Army did about 60 people, and the Econo Lodge serve about 90 individuals. We can say on a single night, there's between 150 to 200 homeless individuals in the La Crosse area. And we have some numbers as well for the Sojourner House in Eau Claire. We serve between 40 and 50 people a night. In Wausau, we serve between 25 and 30 people a night. So it is, again, the homeless situation, it hurts us. It is heartbreaking to see somebody homeless, and we're trying to do our best to serve them.
And also there's the great complication and challenge that, as you say, not everybody wants to be sheltered. And, you know, there's no stereotypical homeless person. Everyone is an individual. Yes, there are some people who simply cannot get away from their addictions, cannot get away from their alcohol, maybe will try to game the system. And we've been reading about things like that in any city you can think of. But you just don't throw in the towel and say, well, I'm sorry, they're all no good. No, it doesn't work that way. There are people out there who, through no fault of their own, are trying to overcome the situation they got themselves in. And, you know, I have been reading stories of families who just lost their jobs due to the pandemic, and they were living with their kids in a car. Stuff like that going on. I mean, even if it was a person who was completely irresponsible and has become a victim of drug addiction, you don't throw them away. You just don't.
Correct. That's why we don't judge. But we, at the same time, we have to be smart. And we cannot provide an apartment to an individual that simply doesn't want to be in an apartment or doesn't want to be responsible for that and will end up destroying it. We need to work with each individual because each person is at a different stage in their lives, and the reasons why he or she are homeless are different. So we have to work with the person. Each case is it's unique. We have to work with each person, one person at a time, and see what the solution for that person is. And that's the beauty of it. Homelessness is a situation, not a person. The person is not homeless. It's a situation that they're living in. So we have to address the particulars of each person and work with each individual to see what solution we can find for them. And that's the importance of case management. And that's the importance of having different alternatives. Some will be placed in an apartment. Some will need a shelter so that they can be monitored a little bit better. And some need a little bit tough love as well.
You have mentioned in the past, and this is worth repeating, that Catholic Charities does not first approach the people who are the easiest to kind of take care of, you know, the people who have only been homeless for a month or two. You go after some of the people who have been homeless for a very long time.
Yes. We normally take in the individuals that are being homeless, as you pointed out, for a very long time. That we work with them and try to help them. It takes years in some cases. We have a Beyond Shelter program, which we have houses here in Lacrosse in Owosso. We house individuals that have been homeless for 5, 6, 10 years in some cases. And we work with them. And in most of our cases, after 2, 3 years, they're able to move on their own and be able to change their lives and find a job. But we have a case manager work with that person on almost a daily basis. And it takes years to turn them around. But in many cases, we have been able to. And in some other cases, we have not. I mean, we've had one case of a person after 3 years, he just simply did not change. So he's back on the street again.
And some people will say, you know, how could you spend all that time on one person? Well, you know, I knew a guy in my hometown who spent many years restoring a Model T Ford.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's what you do, you know, and when all was said and done, he had a Model T Ford that ran. But in some cases, people prefer to help restore a person to the dignity that they deserve. You told a story several years ago now about a guy who had been really hardcore homeless. You got him off the streets. You got him well enough and employed that he could have his own apartment. You got him into the apartment and you promised him a bed was coming that day, but the bed did not come that day because of a problem with shipping. So that night he did not have a bed in his apartment. You know, when you told him you're sorry for the delay on getting the bed, he goes, "That's okay. This carpeted floor is the softest, nicest thing I've slept in years."
Yeah.
You've got to look at these people like, wow, it must be amazing on the half of a person who has been ignored. I mean, one of the things you keep talking about is the homeless people just try to say that they don't exist. I walk past them. But to know that they are loved and cared for must be a revelation for them, a feeling of warmth that just they haven't felt before.
Yeah. I mean, in our shelters, when we greet people, look at them in the eyes, listen to them, treat them like a human being, like they exist, because they want to be recognized. They want to be told their names, and they want to speak with you, and they want to express their feelings, just like you and I want to do this and the same. But they've been hurt so much. Some of them have been traumatized from childhood. So each individual has a history. They have a lot of hurt. They have a lot of trauma. They need to be considered and treated like a human being, just like you and I would want to.
Now, with the warmer weather coming relatively soon. Again, a lot of these people who are coming for the nightly shelter will tend to disperse into the community. Will they be forming camps and, you know, underneath the interstate? Or, you know, you've got certain places in the area that are known for being basically places where the homeless congregate. Is that something that you can keep track of? Do you go out there to see how things are going, or what all do you do?
Yes, that's a conversation we're having with the city right now here in La Crosse. We're having the same conversation in other areas, in that where are they staying, and should they all be congregated in one site, or should we help them disperse a little bit? So there are pros and cons for each situation. There's no one solution. There's not one answer for all of this. Again, some of them would like to be close together in one area and then live in a tent in kind of in a camp. Some want to be on their own. So
there are problems with nutrition. There are problems with infectious diseases. There is problem with drug abuse, alcohol abuse.
Correct. And targeted, you know. So if
And being victimized as well. It's just very bad. I mean, there are drug dealers who go to these homeless camps.
Yeah.
Because people who are using drugs the term that I remember from years ago was self-medicating. They're trying to escape some certain kind of pain, and it may not be physical pain. They're just trying to escape it. And so you've got these drug dealers coming with who knows what, and it does not help the situation. There's also problems with harassment within the camp and outside the camp. Many people, they're worried about the police, and the police have said that one of our problems is we're not trained mental health technicians.
Yeah.
You know, this is where you need the counseling and you need the help of Catholic Charities. It's not their job, but they get in these situations where they have to control situations. It's an incredibly complicated thing. And I have to ask you, where do people come from who decide they want to work at Catholic Charities? What kind of backgrounds do they have? How did you get going in this?
I think it's a call from God, to be quite honest, because I think we all have within ourselves an urge, or we want to help someone. We want to help people. I get started because I always felt a call from God to help others. I always had an urge to help others. And although I studied economics and I worked in the private sector, but about when I was close to 35, 40 years old, I said, I cannot continue to work in this field. I had an opportunity to work for the church. So I followed my instinct and I ended up working for Catholic Charities because it was a dream come true. I mean, that the possibility of working to helping people, it was to me a dream come true. And I think there are many of us that have the same call. And most of the people that come to Catholic Charities and work at Catholic Charities have that call. If you are listening to God, if you're a man or a woman of prayer, you will hear what God is calling you to do. You will know very clearly what your vocation is. And all I can tell you is that the happiness that you find in following God's will and following His call, the happiness and the peaceful of mind that you can have to know that you're doing the right thing, that God created you for a purpose and you're fulfilling that purpose, nothing can be close to that happiness and that fulfillment. Many people go through life in just living and making money and finding themselves empty at the end of the road and finding nothing in their heart, and coming at age 60 or 70 and say, what have I done with my life? What have I become? If you listen to God's call, if you listen to your vocation, if you listen to the internal voice that you have within you, you will find that by serving others, there's no greater happiness than love. One of the many faces of love, Christ showed us that what true love is, and true love is sacrificial love. And sacrificial love, sometimes it's painful, sometimes it hurts. Sometimes people, when they're afraid of hurting, so they reject and they escape from it. The downside of suffering is that people become very bitter and cynical at times. But the upside is that if you have suffering in your life, you can understand others who are suffering as well. And you can offer that suffering and serve people and change their lives. It is so fulfilling to, again, like I said, to follow the path of serving others and doing God's will, there's no greater happiness.
It is a wonderful thing to see people finding something in their lives that really clicks for them. Before I was doing what I've been doing here, my last full-time commercial radio job, I was doing morning news hosting for what at that time was the most profitable radio station in the country. I mean, it just didn't get much better than that in terms of the money flowing through. But frankly, what you're doing is you're doing the news and you're reading commercials and you're running contests. And when all is said and done, you look back and you go, well, yeah, what did I do for all those years? You know, I mean, a couple of times there were a couple of very good things, but most of it was just basically entertaining people. And there's nothing wrong with entertaining people, but that's just entertaining people. There are organ grinders with monkeys that do that too. But and I've been compared to them frequently. But you know, what we're doing here is simply talking with people like you to encourage other people who are listening to, in some way, shape, or form, get involved with their own spiritual side. And if they can't volunteer for any reason, they have a job or they're retired or they have a disability that they can't go and physically help, they can make contributions. If they can't do that, they can pray. Or they can call up a neighbor who is having a rough time and just say, how you doing? You know, these are things that they're not costly. They don't take a lot of time. But that you can just be a good person. And boy, I tell you, you guys, I'm always impressed when I talk to you and I see what else is going on. And who would have thought a year or two back that you'd be dealing with Afghan refugees?
You know, yeah, it is. It's real funny because I was on vacation when this crisis happened. And Karen Becker, she called me up and said, Roberto, we have a crisis. The bishops are calling us to see if we can help. The Afghan refugees are coming to Fort McCoy, and you're not here, so can I, what do you want me to do? I said, well, do what's right, do it. And she just went on her own, and then the rest is history. We ended up serving at Fort McCoy and helping 13,000 Afghan refugees and providing all kinds of services. That's when you follow your gut. That's when you follow your instinct, and that's following God's will for you.
Yeah, and just last week, Bishop Callahan was talking about if you want something done, get a mom to do it. It was really quite remarkable, all this. So we can't go into it right now, but that was a wonderful show, which, by the way, is archived. You can go to diolc.org and go back several weeks now, and you'll see Karen Becker telling the stuff they did. I mean, it was unbelievable. My mouth was hitting the floor hearing all the stuff that was going on. We're going to take a quick break. We're connecting the diocese with Roberto Partaru, the executive director of Catholic Charities for the Diocese of La Crosse, and we'll be back in just a minute or so with some final comments. We'll be right back. This portion of Connecting the Diocese is brought to you by the COVID-19 virus, available everywhere 24 hours a day, 7 days a week worldwide. It's the gift that keeps on giving. Medical professionals all over the world can't be wrong, so look for it at a place near you. Okay, now that I've got your attention, a little COVID update. It's been kind of knocked off the front page because of all the war news going on, and that is perfectly understandable. But it is still out there. It is still spreading. There are roughly 1,000 people a day in the USA dying of COVID-19, so it has not gone away. There is an Omicron variant called Omicron 2, the sequel. It is 30% more contagious than the original Omicron, but like the original Omicron, it doesn't necessarily hospitalize you and possibly will not kill you, which is, of course, very good news. It can, however, make you really, really sick. And, of course, we don't really know about the so-called long haulers with COVID who have lingering symptoms that may continue who knows how much longer. A friend of mine in the radio business got COVID, and he is still dealing with pneumonia-like symptoms that simply are not going away, which is really tough for him because he's making his living with his voice and his lungs. Roughly 33% of Americans still have not gotten the vaccines, none of them, and the doctors are saying do not try to get infected in order to get over it. Getting the vaccine before you get infected is your best chance of lowering the severity of the complications. Things are looking pretty good right now in the Diocese of La Crosse and throughout Wisconsin, but things could change by Easter, the way the COVID virus is spreading with the new Omicron, too. No one can tell you what's going to happen, and anyone who says they know is not telling you the truth. So the best thing to do is to check out the county-by-county rates. You can go online, just type in COVID by county into Google, and it will bring you to a place where you can type in your state and your county, and you can look for yourself, and you can decide the best way to behave. And again, if you're not vaccinated, it's a really, really great time to go there and get those simple shots. They're free. Roberto, we covered an awful lot of territory today. The situation is never static at Catholic Charities. You are always responding to needs, and sometimes they're seasonal needs. Sometimes they're, like you say, with this Afghan refugee, something that came out of like, you're going to do what? But you have always need for financial support for a lot of different things, not the least of which is paying your staff. You know, I mean, little things like that, they like to get paid too. How can people help? One more time. I know I'm going to give out ccclse.org is the website. And if a person, for example, doesn't have the internet or doesn't use the internet, what is a good number they can call so they can get an address so they can mail you a check or something like that?
Right. Let me just give you the address to start with. The address is 3710 East Avenue South, P.O. Box 266, La Crosse, Wisconsin, 54602.
Okay.
That's the address. And the phone number is 608-782-0710. Okay. 608-782-0710.
You may get an answering machine if they're real busy or a voicemail, but just say, I need the address to mail you a check. Somebody will return that call because it all goes to good work. It all goes to very, very good stuff going on. And as I always say, if something urgent comes up that comes out of the blue sky again, you should get hold of me as quickly as possible because we can get something on the air right away. The big thing right now, the immediate thing for a lot of people is the power cutoffs are coming on April 15th. And they're not going to be delayed this year like they were last year unless something really strange happens, but don't count on it because I don't think it's going to happen. And apparently some of the other supports, financial supports from the pandemic are expiring as well. So some things that people were leaning on to help out are not going to be there. And so if you or anybody you even know, even a coworker that you're not, you know, that you don't mind talking to, tell them, call Catholic Charities before things get totally out of control.
Absolutely.
They can be repaired if they're out of control, but if they're still semi in control, it's much easier.
Yes.
Much easier for you, easier for the companies you deal with, and easier for the folks at Catholic Charities. So start gathering up your paperwork. It's real important. Just hang on to those bills. Don't crumble them up and throw them in the trash. You hang on to those things because they will need some documentation like that.
And one thing that you mentioned, I mean, it takes people to help people. That's why we have our staff. I mean, we need to pay our staff, of course, because we all have to make a living. But it takes people to help people.
Yeah, we can't do it automatically. It isn't all done online with a computer.
Right.
And every single person is different. Boy, it's like fingerprints. Everybody's got their own particular strengths and their weaknesses. And again, the nice thing about this whole thing is you're not going to find anybody who is judgmental. You know, no one's going to say, how the heck did you get into that situation? They don't do that. Put your fears aside. If you need some help, ask them if they can help. Call them up. It's free. They'll listen to you. They'll look you in the eye. They'll know your name and they'll help you. And it's just what they do. You don't have to be Catholic. You don't have to be religious. Just need some help. Boy, I'll tell you, they want to help you. They really do. Roberto, thank you so much. You spell it out so well for us. And it changes every week. Boy, I'll tell you, yeah. It changes every... So keep us up with any late-breaking things going on. Just drop me a note or give me a call, okay?
I definitely will.
All right, thank you. Roberto Partaru, the Executive Director of Catholic Charities for the Diocese of La Crosse. Jack Socia here with you on Connecting the Diocese. Just as we were getting ready to put this show to bed and get it up to the network for you for the weekend, I was noticing in the news that President Biden is overseas right now dealing with the G7 and the Ukraine, and he mentioned that the United States will be taking in 100,000 refugees from Ukraine. Now, I have no inside knowledge, nor do I have a crystal ball as to when this is going to happen or where these refugees will be going initially. But it would make sense to me that if the government works the way I suspect it does, if they've had a successful refugee program getting them settled in, that they would probably use the same places and the same resources a second time, as opposed to starting over from scratch. But I would not be the least bit surprised. And again, this is purely speculation. So this is not even a rumor that when this happens, when plane loads of refugees from Ukraine begin working their way over in this direction, I would not be surprised at all if we find them at Fort McCoy. And I would not be the least bit surprised if we find out that Catholic Charities will be helping. It's hospitality. It's just plain hospitality. So, again, pure speculation. I guess we'll just have to wait and see. I leave you with a song I'm dedicating to the men, women, and children of Ukraine, both in country and out of country right now, who are enduring so much. This is the Johannes Brahms Orchestra performing in Washington, D.C., in a song that I'm sure most of you know and is very appropriate this day. See you next week.